So we're going to dive into the series, Help. Everybody say help. I didn't realize it was Men's Mental Health Month, and so, but I really don't want to hog the teaching today. So it's for everybody. Everybody say it's for everybody. But it's interesting that when you see me dive into this teaching, and it's Men's Mental Health Month, how it's just another sign that I got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Every time I think I don't have the Holy Ghost, these little things line up. When you have the Holy Ghost, things line up. Amen? Amen. It lines up when you have the Holy Ghost. Everybody say help. Help. One more time, say help. Help. So we're a few days, a few weeks after experiencing Pentecost Sunday. And of course, we want to experience the Holy Ghost. Amen? Experience the Holy Ghost and all of his glory. And everything that comes with it, not just the warm and fuzzies, but we also need to know that the Holy Ghost is here to help. Everybody say help. Man, Lex was talking on the way here, and I think it'd be a cool statement to say just so you guys can just, or maybe I just want to repeat this statement again, but the statement that a pastor friend of mine said, the only thing worse than no help, the only thing worse than no help, y'all want to know what that is? Because we all need help, right? So sometimes we will receive help. But he said the only thing that's worse than no help is the wrong help. So we know that the Holy Ghost is here to help us. Amen? Amen. And the Holy Ghost is here to help us not to do some dumb stuff. Amen. And not to make a fool out of yourself or say the wrong things. How many, raise your hand if you've ever went through life and said, man, I wish I would have said it differently. I wish I would have said something, or I wish I would have said something, or I wish I would have said something differently, or even major decisions in life. If you're listening to the House of Judah podcast, because that's what this is when it's on, the audio is like a podcast. Clap your hands, we got a podcast. It's just lunch today. If you're listening to this House of Judah podcast, making a major life decision, you need the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. You meet, write this down. It's called parakletos. Ask me how to spell it. It's a Greek word. My name is Greek, but I don't know how to speak fluently in Greek. But it's parakletos. It's basically the Holy Ghost. Everybody say the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is here to help. Even to know what medicine to not to take. Did that come out clear? What medicine not to take? Was just in Nashville yesterday. Got in early this morning, or late last night. And so there was a lady there in Nashville that I met. Her daughter is in ICU. And if I'm not mistaken, she was exposed to some medicine, and then one of the side effects of the medicine. She ended up blacking out, and she ended up, and she's in ICU. And so you need the Holy Ghost to know what medicine to take, because most medicine has what? Side effects. Amen. And so we just gotta. Medicine is good, but we just need to know what Holy Ghost. Should I take this? The doctor said I should take this, and you think it's gonna help, but the Holy Ghost says you may want to wait. Amen. You may want to wait. You may want to take that medicine that's helping you lose. All my friends lose weight these days. I ain't going to do it right now. You know what? I'm just going to drink more water, and I'm going to walk around the neighborhood. That's right. Amen. I'm just going to walk around. And I'm going to walk it off. Look at somebody say, walk it off. Oh, but it's tempting to get that quick fix. Amen. Because I got some clothes that I'm not going to throw away that I want to wear. And if all I got to do is what y'all do. But there are side effects. Amen. But they do look good in Jesus. So I celebrate all of y'all if y'all listening to this podcast. Help you raise your family. Amen. My mama had 5 kids, but she technically helped raise 7 kids. And so to help raise your family, my mama has the Holy Ghost. Everybody say help. Help, help you know what to pray. When you don't feel like praying, when you don't feel like worshiping, the Holy Ghost will help you know what to pray. Everybody say, Holy Ghost. And so, but if a Greek word, you may hear some pastors or preachers say paraclete. And so, but it basically comes from parakletos, which means a comforter, a helper, an advocate, a counselor, a intercessor. Amen. It means someone who has been called to help us. Everybody say called to help us. So Jesus endorsed the Holy Ghost. So some people rock, say, I rock with God, but I don't rock with Jesus. I rock with Jesus, but I don't rock with the Holy Ghost. And so that you can't do that, because Jesus endorsed the Holy Ghost. And how dare we not embrace the Holy Ghost? We need the Holy Ghost in every aspect of our lives. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but John 14:16, Jesus endorsed the Holy Ghost. John 14, verse 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." Wait a minute, another helper? Is Jesus not enough? Jesus is on vacation. Well, he's not on vacation because he's going away to prepare a place for us, but Jesus is not on earth anymore. But he says, it's okay. "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Everybody say, help. So Jesus, he's taking care of it, and he's giving us the Holy Ghost. And I'm so happy about the Holy Ghost. And this season, I'm calling on the Holy Ghost like never before. Amen. I've canceled trips. I've delayed trips. Even this week, I was supposed to go somewhere and I didn't go. And it's the Holy Ghost. Everybody say the Holy Ghost. It will tell you what to do and what not to do. We're back in Acts 28. All right, so turn back to Acts 28. I told you guys, I warned you guys that we're going to stay here with Paul just a little bit longer. And we're going to gut this scripture. We're going to gut this passage. Amen. Acts 28, verse 3 says, "But when Paul had gathered bundle of sticks," those of you in the room, you already know the context, so I won't review week one, week two, and week two. "But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand." Verse 5, "But he shook off the creature." Viper, creature, snake, I don't want anything to do with any of it. Creature, snake, buster, viper, beast, you can have it all. Look at somebody say, you can have it all. "He shook it off. He shook off the creature into the fire, and Paul, he suffered no harm." Everybody say, shake it off. Shake it off. So this week, we're still going to talk about shake it off. I'm teaching on shake it off, but I want to talk about, anyone checked on Paul? Or it could be said, Paul, are you okay? Everybody say, are you okay? I didn't even know it was Mental Health Month. And we're focusing on a man of God, and we're asking him, are you okay? Look at somebody, say, are you okay? This is applicable to everybody. Everybody say, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm sure you will agree that he has a way of revealing what's hidden on deep on the inside of you. That heat can bring out something, you know, what that something is relative. But that heat can sometimes bring out fear. When I tell you that heat can bring out bitterness, that pressure, heat is AKA pressure. It's pressure. Lucinda Moore says, turn your pressure into praise. For some of us, that pressure turns into cuss words. For some of us, that pressure turns into an addiction. For some of us, that pressure turns into bitterness. But that pressure, that heat, so we see in Matthew and Acts 28, that heat brought out a viper. And that viper fastened itself to Paul's body, to his flesh. And Paul shook it off. Everybody say, shake it off. That pressure or that heat can even sometimes reveal that you have unforgiveness in your heart. perhaps even doubt in your heart. That pressure, when you have an unexpected pressure, it's one thing to have expected pressure, but it's another thing to have unexpected pressure. Pressure, test, calamity, a bill. I remember, like, if I tell a story, y'all gonna judge me? You can judge me. You can judge me. Don't condemn me. Yeah, you can judge me. You have permission. I remember in our last apartment. I may have told the story before, but our last apartment, all of the apartments look the same, and we're just. I think this was during the daytime or maybe during the evening, maybe after 5 o'clock, where somebody got off from work. I'm in the house, maybe had my slippers on, maybe pajamas on, and so somebody knocked on the door, and I'm telling this the best way I can without incriminating myself, and said, I know you in there. Come out, Jermaine. Jermaine? Was it Jermaine, Danny? Jermaine! I know you in there. Come out! And I'm like, what in the world is happening? And so she was looking for Jermaine. I come downstairs and just trying to see what's going on. What's this commotion? And why are you looking for Jermaine? Because Lex ain't married to Jermaine. Lex is married to who? Alpheus. So she looking for Jermaine. And so and she kind of approached me. I know you hiding Jermaine in there. I know you got him in there. I know Jermaine is in you. You need to come out of there. Read up the story. First of all, but let me just speed up the story. I didn't cuss. No worries. I didn't cuss. I did everything but cuss. The spirit in how I addressed the spirit, my response was not, it wasn't godly. I mean, if I'm usually good about discernment and I'm usually good about empathy, and then Lex come downstairs and she had everything right. I made an F. She made like a, she graduated cum laude or whatever. I graduated, I hope I can thank the Lordy, Lottie. And she came down and kind of somewhat diffused the situation because the young lady started crying. I think her door was still open. She had parked in front of our apartment because in the apartment complex, all the apartments looked the same. And I think what she was trying to get to the bottom of, maybe Jermaine, her boo, her boyfriend was creeping. And she was trying to, and her investigation led her to our complex and maybe our apartment. And she was trying to figure out, was Jermaine with somebody else? Of course, Jermaine was not only me and Lex lived in that apartment. And so I'm like, ma'am, I'm giving you a glimpse of how I shouldn't have not addressed her. Jermaine don't live here. And so it was very weird. Lex instantly diffused that situation. She started crying. I'm not sure what she said. I think she knew she had messed up. She was at the wrong house. We wasn't about that life, and we was not hiding Jermaine. It revealed, that pressure sometimes revealed that you don't have long suffering like you say you do. Look at somebody say, you ain't saved like you say. You ain't saved like you say you saved. You let somebody come to your house looking for Jermaine and see what you say. Don't judge me with that, condemn me with that tone of look. That pressure may reveal you ain't as patient as you work with kids, but let somebody come to your house looking for Jermaine. That goes out the window. I needed that grace. Shake it off is code for cast it out. When you hear me say shake it off, it's code for confronting that viper, that snake. Instantly breaking free. Everybody say break free. It's code for we got to get another W. We got to get that W. It's code for breaking cycles. It's code for getting control of your thoughts, not just your thoughts, but your what? Your runaway thoughts. In Acts 28, back to Matthew, Acts 28. Why did this account make the Bible? Like, what's so special about this? Okay, so what? Who cares? A snake bit you, Paul. You shook it off, and you went back on this beautiful island. By the way, I just want to, some of us, maybe more than me, need a vacation. I've been traveling a little bit more lately, but it's not been vacation. I call it gospelcation. I call it schoolcation. I call it workcation. But it's a difference between a workcation, schoolcation, and a what? Vacation. But Paul, so what, Paul? You got bit by a snake on this beautiful island. You went back on, and then you went and explored the island, the other picture. And, like, what are we supposed to get from this? So what? Who? Why did this make the big screen? Why did this make the Bible? Mental Health Month. Didn't realize that. Maybe subliminally. But I can't help to think, what if that viper stayed on Paul's body a little bit longer? What if, so a snake, it's attached to you, and the longer it stays, the more what it dispenses. More venom, more poison. You just researching the Bible, poison is not a good, it's not a good word. A snake is not a good word. A viper is not a good word. Researching the Bible, how many times Jesus called a group of individuals a what? A snake. You old low-down, dirty snake. Jesus talked like that. Now, I know y'all think Jesus loves me. This I know. But that Jesus called you a viper. When Jesus called this group of individuals a viper, he said, you have a really, really bad, bad heart. Not just a bad heart, your heart is wicked. You have a wicked, imagine the snake poison. You have a bad heart, it's full of wickedness. I see you. He's saying, I see you trying to spread poison. So the proper thing to do is call it what it is. Call a what? Call a spade a spade. You are off, ma'am or sir. You are a snake because you're letting God use you. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus really wrote this song. That girl is poison. Jesus wrote that song. You know, they need to give him credit. He was calling people poison in the Bible days. Y'all don't know that song, do you? The enemy just don't want to stop at biting you, Alphaeus, you, us. He knows he can't unconvert Alphaeus. Now, I'll take a bullet. You know, now I may take you out before you take me out, but I will take a bullet for my faith. He can't unconvert me, so he is trying his best to what? Poison me. Poison us. He's trying to, that's why David said, I don't have it committed to memory, but David said, restore to me the what? The joy of my salvation. I'm saved, but sometimes I get down. I'm saved, but sometimes you fill in the blanks. Amen? So we do have to do like David. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Because the enemy know, he said, you know what? I can't really sway this group of individuals. They've been walking with God for a long time. So let me see if I can get some poison in them and then get them to just be off a little bit, and they won't even enjoy the salvation. They won't even enjoy the vacation. You on this beautiful island, and then I'll just sprinkle a little poison, and you on your vacation, and you can't even enjoy it. That is the work of the enemy. There was no reason we should have been on this vacation recently and not enjoy it. Amen? But that's the enemy at work trying to just sprinkle a little poison because he knows he cannot unconvert you. He knows he wants to steal your joy. Paul, are you okay? When you look at your Bible and I look at Paul and I see Paul, and of course, you know, I'm a musician, producer, songwriter, so I'm really like looking at this. I'm like, Paul, are you okay, bro? Everybody say, are you okay? Okay? I'm not saying Paul can't handle it, or I'm not assuming he's not strong enough, but Paul has a miraculous conversion story. You guys know it, but Paul ain't God. Paul ain't Jesus. Look at somebody say, I'm strong, but I ain't God. Everybody say, I'm strong, but I ain't God. Everybody say, I'm strong, but when Jermaine come to my house, it's going to reveal that I ain't God, that I'm not Jesus. Paul just shook that thing off. And it's admirable, it's supernatural, it's divine. He shook it off, but Paul has been through a lot. Number one, if you want to write it down, in 2 Corinthians 11:24, you tell me what's happening here. 11, verse 24. From the Jews, this is Paul, 5 times I've received 40 stripes minus one. From the Jews, endured 200 lashes of lashes. He endured 200 lashes across 5 separate times. Being beat over 100 times, 200 times to be exact. He was locked up in Philippi in Acts 16. If you want to write this down, I lifted this months ago, Acts 16. He was locked up in Philippi. He was stoned and left for dead. Everybody say, Paul, you okay? Now, he just shook it off in this account in Acts 28. But it's only so much you can take. Now I'm kind of having this empathy or sympathy, more empathy for Paul. Paul, are you okay? You shook it off, but has anybody checked on the people that seem to be shaking it off so well, professional shake-it-offers? Has anybody checked on the professional shake-it-offers? I mean, he survived the shipwreck, and we want to focus. Paul, you survived the shipwreck. If he survived a shipwreck like that in 2026, all the bloggers would be there with their cameras taking a selfie with Paul. Man, this man was on the ship. He took a shipwreck, and, you know, he did try to get their followers up. Man, God is with this man, just trying to get their views up and not really realizing that Paul don't need you to use him to get your views up. He needs you to see him. This man spent days in a storm, and then he had to watch his transportation be torn apart. House repossessed, car repossessed. Watch a family member have an addiction, suffer. Paul, are you okay? Everybody say, Paul, you okay? How is your mind? Paul, how is your mind? Man, I didn't know it was men's mental health. All right, I'm just in disbelief, but that's the Holy Ghost. Everybody say Holy Ghost. Everybody say, Paul, are you okay? I mean, I lifted this a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, I'm like, Paul, you my new hero. You neck and neck with Moses. He shook it off. But everything that Paul has been through, we need to check on Paul. Look at somebody say, check on the Pauls. How healthy is your mind? Because Paul is starting to make, throughout his journey, some sketchy remarks. Amen? And that's why, because you got to look for the smoke signals. Everybody say smoke signals. Everybody say smoke signals. You got to look out for these smoke signals. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm turning with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I feel like I'm getting in a boat when I turn in the paper Bible. I feel like I'm getting in a boat with Paul. And I feel like I'm putting on my sandals, so I'm turning the paper Bible a little bit more, because I feel like I feel the dust on my feet right now. Y'all don't see that dust on my feet? Y'all don't see that? I think it might be some baby powders, but it's dust. Let's pretend like it's dust. 2 Corinthians 1:8. We do not want to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, in another land. Perhaps one season, you remembering one season, that season was rough. Anybody got a season where you remembered it was very rough? Yep. And that season, you can smell it, you can feel it. It's like, man, I don't want to go back to that season. I don't want to go back to the pandemic season. Amen? For we know, we don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure. Burden beyond measure above strength. This is Paul talking. We can't ignore the smoke signals. Paul's saying, I was burdened. He's going back in his mind, and it's bringing back a fresh emotion. Does that make sense? So he's going back, but it's like, man, I'm reliving it. Y'all see, I kind of felt a little bit when I talked about the Jermaine story. It almost took me back, right? But I passed it. I didn't go back. Beyond measured above strength, so that we despaired even of life. You know, suicide is just, the suicide rates are just increasing. You know, we can do something about it because we got the Holy Ghost. We should be suicide preventers. Look at somebody, say, not under my watch. Come on, look at somebody, say, not under my watch. If you want to just turn to 2 Corinthians 1:9, if you keep reading, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. What does that mean? We had the sentence of death in ourselves. It's like me and Lex, me and my wife saying, baby, you know what? I think we're just not going to make it this season. I think this is just how it's going to happen. We're just going to struggle. I know you've heard people say, you know what? We as a race, this is kind of what we're going to do in a certain, this is what God is using me to struggle. No. We're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. I think I'm just going to always be in debt. I've heard people say that. I think, you know what? I think I'm just going to always have a car payment. What? Okay, raise your hand if you would choose a car payment. Raise your hand if you would choose not to have a car payment. Amen. Choose ye this day. Romans 9:2 says, Paul, everybody say, Paul, you okay? You okay, Paul? You talking a little different. You the strong ones. Like if you and your family, you know you one of the strong ones. People really, really can't handle when you have a vulnerable moment. You're one of the strong ones. And it's so dramatic when the strong ones talk a little different because they're normally talking strong. Amen? And so we need to grace them out a little bit, in my opinion. Romans 9:2 says that I have great sorrow. The same Paul that just shook it off is saying, I have great sorrow. Paul, are you okay, bro? You just shake it off. You don't have to have sorrow. Just look at somebody and say, shake off the sorrow. And then the great sorrow and continual grief where? In my heart. I'm really almost finished. 2 Timothy 4:6, I'll read it for you. You don't have to turn there real quick. You're on vacation right now. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. 2 Timothy 4:6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. Life is life, and the time for my departure is near. My daddy has a lot going on, but I feel like God is not through with him yet. Amen? Amen? God is not through with him yet. He may live to be 157 years old. He just seemed like he got 27,000 lives. That is the hand of God. Amen? That is the hand of God. And so when you hear family members talk like Paul is talking here in 2 Timothy 4:6, you know what? I think I'm just going to retire. I'm washed up. I'm not going to start a business. I'm not going to do this. You shake them to shake it off. Shake them. Shake, shake, shake. If you got to sing that song. And I saw Dorothy Norwood last week with my own eyes. She just turned 92. And you know what she's saying, right? Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. That song is so biblical. In the name of Jesus, shake the devil off. Y'all want me to do the verse? I don't know the verse. But it says something about it. Don't let him ride, because if you let him ride, he may want to drive. Something like that. Clap your hands for the 92nd birthday of Dorothy Norwood. Thank y'all for honoring her with me. Yes, yes. I'm almost finished. In this room, you have permission to say that hurt. I'm not coming down on Paul with him sounding a little different in the passages I just lived. I am saying, Paul, you actually have. I don't blame you for talking like that. Because when it hurt, it what? We are flesh. We're human. Ouch. You got permission to say ouch. Think of something right now that makes you say ouch and just say ouch. This is a holy, safe place, Holy Ghost filled place to say ouch. If you're going to say ouch anywhere, say ouch in the house of God. If you're going to be vulnerable anywhere, you come to this altar and you camp out. We give you the key to lock the door when you want to leave, or give you the code or whatever. Am I right, elders? You got permission to be vulnerable in the house of God. You got permission in this room to say, what in the world is happening? I don't blame Paul. You on a ship, and you saw the ship tear up. You saw the ship tear up. You saw the foundation of the ship tear up. Many of us are watching family members that perhaps have raised us tear up. Them tearing up makes us tear up. I don't blame you. You got permission to say, really, life? Everybody say, really? This is kind of some of my vernacular. You got permission to say, some of us kind of approach it a little different. This is kind of some of my vernacular. And it's, oh, okay, this is where we are. I know that's kind of got a little undertone of a little sarcasm in it. It got a little fight in that. But y'all hear that? Oh, okay, that's where we are. Okay, either there's two approaches. Either, all right, oh, okay, this is where we are. Oh, okay, this is okay. This is really different. Or you got permission in this room to say, I didn't do so well with that test. I didn't do so well with that Jermaine test. You got permission in this room to say, where are my friends now? You got permission to say, nothing. You got permission to say lie. Because sometimes it gets like that. You like that. You got permission to be an emoji. And this emoji is what? Y'all laughing, but this emoji is powerful. This emoji is a lot of it. It means I don't know. Amen. Because you win some and you what? Yeah. Come on. I've been teaching this for years. You win some and you what? And you learn some. This is a powerful statement here. This is a top powerful. Read this with me, guys. It's okay. Ready, set, go. It's okay to acknowledge the bite. Just don't build a house around it. One more. Don't unpack your bags in a... Well, speaking of bags, let me tell you one more story. If I tell you one more story, you're not going to judge me. I mean, you can judge me. Don't condemn me. I mean, like, on the way here, you know, I just came back from Nashville yesterday. And one time in 2 years, I checked my bag. I get to the baggage claim last night, and what's not in the baggage claim? And we checked it in Sky Priority, because the people in Sky Priority think they better than other people. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking to other people that was in the Sky Priority that really wasn't there, because we were the only people in the line in Sky Priority. They think they better. So do you know you shouldn't lose the Sky Priority people bags? I get to the baggage claim, and it's not there. And then on the way here, they called me last night. They said, you know what? We're sorry, Mr. Anderson. We're going to deliver it to your house. On the way here, they called Lex's phone. First of all, we're trying to figure out why did they call Lex's phone and not my phone, because they're supposed to have my phone on file. And so they got my phone, and then there, so they're just trying to distract you, trying to distract me. Why they got your phone? They got my phone. And then they said, you know what? You got to come and pick it up. I'm like, wait a minute. You told me you got my address, you got my new phone number, and said we're going to deliver it to your house. A little, you're trying to get me. But it's okay to acknowledge the bite. Just don't build a house around it. And I was like, Lex, let's wait after church. I'm not gonna get concerned right now. After church, because I need some of those things in that bag. Let's read the second one. Don't unpack your bags in a season God intended you to walk through. All right, let me read one thing, a couple of things, and I think y'all see the punchline. I hope you guys feel encouraged. Amen. You guys feel encouraged because I'm here next week. And Dr. Leaf says, this is Caroline Leaf. She is a Christian neuroscientist. I think I may be getting it wrong. But she's smart. She's a believer. She's a Christian. But she's also into neuroscience. Amen. So that she said, healing comes through processing and renewing the mind. Of course, that's the Bible. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, but she says healing through her studies and through non-biblical studies, but she's a Christian, so she knows the Bible supports what she's studying and what she's uncovering in that world. It comes through the process of renewing the mind. Amen? Identifying toxic thoughts and observing them honestly is fruitful. Alpheus, you know you had no business responding like that. Don't beat yourself up. Like I just said, it's okay to acknowledge the bite. Just don't build a house around it. It's okay. Man, that response was, I should have said it differently. It's okay to acknowledge it, but don't build a house around it. She also says, Dr. Caroline Leaf says, challenging them. Challenging what? Challenging what? Challenging the thoughts, challenging them and replacing them with truth is what she suggests. What is the truth that we will be replacing these thoughts with? The Word of God. And you can rewire your thinking patterns, or you can basically build yourself up in the most holy faith where the next time you ain't gonna fail that test. Your response is gonna be predictable because the Word of God is predictable. Amen? The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is victory. So you're going to be victorious because you are eating victory. Amen? Caroline Leaf says, you are a what? A victor. So Dr. Caroline Leaf says, just get it out in the open. Let's just sit. Let's get the chair. And you know it's going to be some, you know, if somebody get the chair like this and come to you, in this position, have you ever seen a coach do that? You know that we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting with a subject matter. How about we get the chair and we turn that chair around and we have a come to Jesus meeting with your thoughts. And this is what I'll end with. Matthew 9:4, Jesus had a come to Jesus meeting with some thoughts here. Matthew 9:4, Jesus said, why are you thinking like that? I'll summarize this. Why are you thinking like that? He already knows. He knows life be lifing. Amen. He knows life be lifing. He knows nothing ever catches God by surprise. He knows, but he is just saying you should consider looking at your thoughts. You should consider putting your thoughts under a surveillance camera. You should consider. You thinking today is a message about asking Paul, are you okay? But this is perhaps a teaching, not checking on Paul, but really a charge to check on yourself. Everybody say, check on me. Everybody say, me. Check on me. Everybody say, me. Check my heart. Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? And I've said this before, and I've given the story about my in-laws coming to my house and me doing such a good being such a good entertainer. I'm just trying to help my reputation here, so I'm going to brag on me a little bit. I just told y'all how I failed. But I'm a pretty good entertainer. Amen. Humbly submitted. Because when that thing kick in on me, I mean, I can give you some water with a little mint. You come up, I'll give you a little water with a mint, a little, you know, I mean, I'll do that thing up. I'll whip up something, and you ain't gonna want to leave. Because I'm a good what? I'm a good entertainer. You know, and it's just, I just can't just give you some cereal. I'm gonna give you Frosted Flakes with some strawberries in it. That because I'm a good what? I'm making you feel welcome. Jesus said, why do you entertain? And when I entertain great, the people don't want to leave. Amen. So that, I don't know if you're listening, a pastor may be listening, even this church. If we entertain well, people are not going to want to leave. And I'm not saying entertain with carnal stuff. They're going to be entertained. They're going to be made welcome by the Holy Ghost, the Paraclete. Amen. And so when you do a good job of entertaining, it's not, the people are not going to want to leave, but those thoughts are not going to want to leave. Ouch, it hurts. Really, God? I got to eat this type of food every single day? I got to eat manna every day? Well, you didn't have anything to eat a day before. I mean, a few weeks before. Really? Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Really, God? This is how it ends? This is my season? So some people may think, like, go back to that passage, sweets. Why do you entertain evil thoughts? We want to go to the flamboyant evil, like maybe lust, maybe adultery, or maybe murder, or somebody planning to sow division where it just kind of looks like they got the horns on their head. But what if the evil that's lifted here, why do you entertain evil in your what? Heart. Everybody say why. Everybody say why. Everybody say why. And the reason why Jesus even had to address a group, because they didn't like the way he did something. If you just rewind in Matthew 9:3, and they didn't like it. Let's read it. Matthew 9, verse 3. And what he did was not so bad. And what he did was he healed somebody. He healed a paralytic, and he said, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. And at once, some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. They didn't like what he did. So perhaps why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? It's not connected to lust. It's not connected to murder. It's connected to when you have a problem with how God is doing things. That's evil. When you say, I don't approve of this God, what gives us a right to put God on trial? Does that make sense? Is this making sense? Evil is, God, thank you for paying my bills, but it'd be nice to have a little money left over. God says, well, did you ask me? You just asked me to pay my bills, and I did what you asked me. Is that not enough? Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? So I want to encourage us to, let's not grieve the Holy Spirit. I know life is lifing. Amen. If life is lifing for you or if somebody in your family, raise your hand. Life is going to continue to do it. It's going to continue to life. Amen. But that thing can bring you. The enemy is not going to unsave us. He is trying to bitter us. He's trying to throw us off. He's trying to get our thoughts. He's trying to mess us up in the head. Amen. So I wrote this down verbatim. Yeah, I know when I told you guys when I write it down, like I really can't really repeat it because I don't really have notes. I don't have a script. I have triggers a little behind the scenes, but I wrote this guys for you guys, for us. Let's read it. Ready, set, go. Be encouraged today. Life is going to life. Friends are going to unfriend. The enemy is going to try you. Your flesh is going to be put to test. you are going to get a low score sometimes. Don't give up. Be honest. Call your responses and uncharacteristic behaviors. Repent and give it to Christ. It is not okay not to be okay. Where's that found in the Bible? Where's that found? Where's that found? I know it's a popular thing. What scripture and verse is that found? It's okay not to be okay. Let me qualify it. Jesus came that you what? May have life and have it more abundantly. This broke, disgusted, depressed type of mentality, that we ain't about that life here at the house of Judah. Do I got a witness? Life be lifing, but we look like life ain't lifing. Am I right about it? People wouldn't even know that we're going through some of the stuff we're going through. Because you just walk in, hey, what's up? And then you're like, man. Repeat, because we got the Holy Ghost. We have the Paraclete. We have a comforter. Amen. We are balanced. Yes, it hurts, but God. Yes, it doesn't feel good, but God. Yes, I got the diagnosis, but God. Yes, I failed the class, but God. We are fair and balanced here at the house of Judah. Repeating, it's okay not to be okay. Could subtly give you permission to stay in the season too long. Lastly, the scripture says we should cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what I want you guys to leave out of here with, knowing that you have help. You have help in Jesus, and you have help with the Holy Ghost. Clap your hands if you enjoyed this teaching. It's so tempting to keep teaching. I just had to stop.